Let me introduce you to these fellows, to the Moe. One name is Addy, the other is Moe. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows, to the Moe. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Moe's just fat. Addy's a dick and Moe's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I am Addy.
Hey yo, Line!
Your line?
No, I was just asking Scott Hall.
Oh,
for a line.
To do a line.
Yeah. Mo.
Mo. How you doing, Mo?
I don't know, what do you want to talk about?
Wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all we do.
That's all I do.
It's no bullshit, folks. That's all he does.
Oh, I'm a wonderful person.
Yeah. We can do that, and now you're also addicted to this 2K card game.
I know.
And I told you. I told you.
Right now, my tag team was Randy Orton and Hulk Hogan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And now my awesome chick, Eva Marie, just beat the fuck out of...
their awesome chick, who wasn't awesome.
Summer Rae.
Oh, skank.
Yeah, so yeah. It pains me that The Miz is the best guy in this game for me, though.
Yeah, that is... I know, I've had that. Like, right now, I have somebody I don't like as my best guy, too.
Who's that?
Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I thought you were going to say Sean O'Hare.
Same thing.
He's one of the ones that you can have match up against women, though.
Oh, yeah?
It beats them.
True.
So what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Raw?
You do it. You lead. I'll
okay.
Dance.
Okay, let's... Raw is Rumble Rerun.
Yeah. You know, if I saw the Rumble.
Me too.
And if I hadn't seen the Rumble, though, this would have been the greatest Raw of all time.
Well, it did a big rating.
Well, yes and no. It did a big rating compared to what they've been doing.
Yeah.
They didn't do better rating than the Raw last year at this time.
No.
The Raw after Rumble always does a big rating. But what it showed was, you know, it was a little below the one last year.
Right.
But what it showed was that you can do a show built around wrestling matches and like promos and sit down promos and not have to do all the stupid comedy skits and sketches and
Yes. All
the bullshit and still hold the audience. Now, I mean, they did go down a little bit in the third hour, but not that much. So that's the takeaway from it is, okay, you didn't give us any of the really stupid, we got to put smiles on people's faces bullshit. You gave us... You know, the closest would have been when JBL was outside in the snow at the beginning. Maybe Dean Ambrose saying he was going to go look for his posters.
Yeah.
But like it didn't have all the stupidity and the stuff that insults your intelligence. And yet, despite that, people watched.
Mm-hmm. I know that's strange. That's what I found. It was weird. There's no other word to describe it but weird.
Weird
that people watched it. But I looked at it like we talked years now. I think ago. Let's call it 2 years ago.
Okay.
Possibly three.
Maybe three.
About...
could have been 4 years ago.
How we could do something better.
Probably talked about it 5 years ago.
Yes, we probably did.
Maybe even 6 years ago.
How we would fix Raw.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the studio leading to the match.
Yes.
This was as close as we've got.
Yeah.
And it worked for me.
For sure it did.
It largely worked for me because of
it was fresh.
Well, it was fresh, and also it was... I wasn't listening to a Kofi Kingston promo.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
I had Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
I had Brock Lesnar, who
yeah.
was great. I had Roman Reigns, who didn't overly fuck up.
No.
Didn't,
at least he was...
He didn't
at
tell
least...
me a bedtime story.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, at least he didn't reference Looney Tunes.
Yes.
Like, he did what he needed to do.
Yes.
There was some bullshit behind it.
Yes.
He was a little stilted in his delivery when it was one-on-one.
Yes.
He was better at the end when he was with Brock and reacting to Heyman. But when he was waiting for Vince to feed him his lines, not as good, but you know?
Yeah.
But at least it's the right type of promo for him.
Yes. And, but the other thing, too, that I thought was, you know, Daniel Bryan as well was good.
He was really good.
And Seth Rollins, right?
Yeah, Seth Rollins was pretty good, too.
Yeah, despite the question he was being asked.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, when you did that move,
yeah,
did you think you would win?
Yeah.
You know what I was remembering about that? You know what I thought back to? Did you remember the Saturday Night Live when it was good? Adam Sandler and Chris Farley and Kevin Nealon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all right then.
Yeah.
It wasn't his best, but it was all right.
It was great then.
Yeah, it was all right.
Chris Farley had a thing called, funnily enough, called The Chris Farley Show.
Hmm.
And it went a little something like this.
Yes.
You remember the time when you were in the Terminator? That was awesome.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that skit.
That was Michael Cole going.
That was Michael Cole.
When you remember the time when you went to the top rope to do that 450 splash, did you think you were going to win?
Yeah, it's pretty much.
And Seth Rollins was great. Like, yeah. I thought I was going to win. That's why I did the move.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Right. What was it called? The Phoenix Press or whatever? He had to give it the name and everything?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, to me,
it's actually called the Stardust Press or something like that, but
they're
obviously not going to call it that.
He could not unless he did it.
Yeah.
But no, I thought that was hilarious.
Could he do it?
My favorite line in
could
that.
Could he do it?
What?
I think Kofi could. Kofi could.
Yeah.
You think Cody could?
He's not athletic enough.
Rollins is.
It's true. It's his hair. But I think, I just look at.
I think Cody could.
My favorite line in that whole thing was Brock. Mm-hmm. The whole Raw was Brock when he goes, Roman, he won the Rumble. Good for him. I hope he's up for the challenge. He goes, when's he coming out? He's like, he's coming out later. Good. Maybe we'll stick around. I'd like to meet the guy. Just made me laugh.
Makes sense.
I think I'd like to beat him.
Makes sense. He never would have met him. I mean,
no.
The guy comes through the crowd. He's an outsider.
It's true.
He doesn't hang in the backstage with the rest of the boys.
That's true.
He's different.
Oh, he is different.
He is different. Okay, it's time to put the game away now.
What?
I know.
No.
All right. Come on now.
I put
mine away.
Okay, let's find out if I advanced in the King.
Well,
of the
no, North that North. Match won't happen for another 40 minutes is the thing.
No, I lost.
No, it won't happen for another 40 minutes.
I lost.
No, you didn't. It won't. It's every 40, 50 minutes that the matches happen.
Oh.
That one just happened, so you won't have another one for another 50 minutes. Yeah.
Well,
so you just put it away now.
Well, it's not at fault.
Put your toys away.
Sometimes it takes them that long just to get warmed up.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Screw you, taxpayer. yeah, so then We got the Royal Rumble.
We'll check it in.
I'm curious.
I'm also trying to qualify for the King of the Ring tournament.
Yeah.
I should check to see if I qualified.
You didn't. We got the Rumble. We got the Raw match, or the Rumble three-way match. We got the Rumble itself on Raw. We got interviews.
We got a little bit of them playing with the audio with Reigns, but not so much. You can still hear their boos.
Yeah.
But not as loudly.
We got the announcement that John Cena and Rusev are going to main event the Fastlane pay-per-view.
Yeah, that was weird.
Totally live.
Yeah, that
and available only on the WWE Network.
Are they still going to do the free month? I think they are, right?
Haven't heard anything. And I mean, it's...
I would. I think that's why you put it out there. Well, either way, I think part of the reason you put it out there is to get new people, but also partly it's like, okay, we don't want to lose anybody. Though I don't think you would. I mean, you're bleeding towards WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
So, I mean, but that's it, though. I mean, all of a sudden, whereas for a little while there, it was, oh, it doesn't matter what we put on the network and what the pay-per-view matches are because, God damn it, nobody's buying it anyways. Now it's like, oh, we got a bunch of people. We don't want to lose them. We better put on good shit.
Yeah, And this gets to probably what the big wrestling story is of let's call it the week. Isn't really the Royal Rumble so much is that it plays into it, but is it the WWE...
Are we finished talking Raw?
Yeah.
No, I'm not finished talking Raw.
What else is there on Raw?
Well, let's talk more about that Daniel Bryan interview.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He fucked up.
No, he didn't.
Sorry.
I fucked up.
I fucked up.
I had as good a chance. See, that's the thing is that they were working. Like, they did a good job with Reigns as far as his reaction to what he said. Like, how they handled the crowd reaction. Put the game away.
No.
I put mine away.
I know.
I just had to check to see where I was in the King of the Ring.
Oh.
Put it away. Don't make me come over there.
What?
Good. Good.
Your fat intimidates me.
This is what your wife has been going through the producer's been going through this since you...
She yells at me to put it away all the time.
That's since before you discovered the game.
Right. Right. Oh, the game! Which game?
Well, it's time to play the game. So, no, it's not. No! Don't turn it. No. Put that away.
It's all about the game?
And how you play it. And let me tell you.
Okay.
The tournament. No, wait. The Daniel Bryan.
It all boils
down. So Daniel Bryan, here's the thing. I thought he was really good. He's like, yeah, I got to get back to winning the title. And I got to do it for the fans because they believe in me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had my chance at the thing. And it's all the right verbiage for him to say that I had as good a chance as anybody and I didn't win it. And there's no reason to blame Roman. And blah, blah, blah. It's all the right stuff to say. Here's the problem.
Oh, there's a problem?
There's a problem.
Oh, what's that?
This problem is where them constantly, like, lifting the behind the curtains, letting you know it's scripted, letting you know, like, I'm always referencing, and they're not as bad as TNA.
I thought Daniel Bryan did a better job than Roman Reigns in terms of the interview, and it's not either guy's fault, to be honest.
No.
But I thought they did, when Daniel Bryan said it, you know, it was all part of the storyline.
Yes.
Because it's like, you know, they didn't want me to win. They said I was small. They said I look at my face. But you fans pushed, and they had no choice. And I seized the opportunity once I was given it, because of you fans. And then I won.
Yeah.
Right? That was the story. With Roman Reigns, they said, were you handpicked by the higher-ups? And it's like, what the fuck does that have to do with the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, that was odd because it's like,
in the WWE
world, that means that Triple H has picked him. That means that Stephanie's picked him.
Yes, and what the fuck does that mean? He didn't get a good number.
Yeah,
he didn't do anything. They didn't fucking win it for him or play into that at all. In WWF Royal Rumble world,
but that's it.
He went in and battled with everybody else. They just didn't give a fuck. So it's this Russo fucking riffic story.
That's what I was trying to say. Is,
okay, well, you say it. I have to take a Russo, actually. I'm going to fire it out real quick. So you keep talking.
All right.
I'll be back, because Arby's did this to me.
Well, there goes our chance of having them sponsor the show. This is where what the WWE has done in the past, and they've been doing this, obviously, since Vince McMahon started talking about the time-honored tradition with Bret Hart, and you had it with DX, and over the years, quite a bit in the Attitude Era, and of course, Russo, nobody was worse with it in WCW, talking about the idea that this is a scripted product. And obviously, TNA as well, because Russo's been there. WWE doesn't bring it up all the time. They bring it up, though, often enough still, to let you know that this is a scripted product, and what you're seeing is performances. And therefore, when Daniel Bryan comes out and what Roman Reigns talked about led into that. What Daniel Bryan's, you could interpret when he's talking about being too small or whatever, them just putting obstacles in his path. His didn't come across as though it was a product that is at all scripted. It just came across like he had obstacles to overcome, the way he put it, his verbiage again. But this is where what they've done so many times to damage the credibility of you being able to put the product aside and use your imagination and just pretend. You're never able to anymore just pretend that there is a that this isn't real, you know, or that this is real. I mean, you're never able to put it aside and just go with the moment. Maybe sometimes in a great match here and there you can, but when you're watching Raw, you rarely can. And which is in fact why one of the things that's become most effective is for them to use real life incidents as a real life heat, or make it seem like real life heat, is one of the things that becomes most effective for them to draw money. But what we're instead seeing is kind of, like I say, is that when they go, when it's not convenient, and it's not convenient with the Daniel Bryan story, all of a sudden they still have to do that. They still have to give you the, you know, the reasons why he didn't win. And I had just as good a chance, because it's real. I had just as good a chance as anybody else, and I failed, and I'm the one who let you down. And in the back of my mind, and I'm sure the mind of many of the fans, they're going, bullshit. We know that this is because Roman Reigns is the handpicked guy. We know it's that you didn't fail because and got knocked out by Bray Wyatt because you're not as good and you had an off night. We know it's that that was the script. And you're they're always fighting this now. And this is where I'm like, the verbiage is so good, but the damage that they have done in creating this world of theirs and making it what it now is, where it's all the time, we're going to admit it's entertainment. We're going to have things like, we're going to have little people underneath the little people's court underneath the ring and Carlito going through holes in the walls like Bugs Bunny and the boogeyman and all this stuff that is still lets you know, oh, this is happening because it's scripted and it's silly and don't worry about it. And not to mention them referencing who's going to win and being picked and all of the creative and referencing the creative. And again, WWE is not as bad for that, but it's still out there. This is where it's done the most damage, because all of a sudden, even when they do something right, like they've done with Daniel Bryan, what they've done and created so much damage that they cannot actually get this point across to the crowd the way they will. The crowd won't accept it. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, in the live SmackDown, due to the snowstorm that they'll be having, that's exactly what I expect to see. Daniel Bryan did everything to make it so that the crowd should, in the old days, if the crowd and this many people saw it, they would just go, oh, he messed up. We're just going to get behind him to get back there. But we're not going to boo the other guy because he's the chosen one and our guy isn't. But now, even though they've done the right verbiage and Daniel Bryan played the character right to do that, because everybody's sitting there thinking what Daniel Bryan has said is not true. They're thinking instead what Daniel Bryan said is what he's been told to say. He's being a company guy and saying the right things because he's been told to and he doesn't have a choice. But the whole idea still of him being, you know, it was his fault. It just doesn't fly. And because of that, this is not going to work. They've done everything right, but because it's so out there as being a fake product, when you've done everything right with Daniel Bryan's promos, done everything right in the way you handled it on Monday, you're still going to get the crowd booing the shit out of Reigns and cheering for Daniel Bryan. They have, because they lifted the curtain so much that you can see behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You can't pull it back down when they want to anymore.
Okay.
And that's the damage.
I'm back now. So, what did you say?
Just rewind.
Oh, okay. It's just, it doesn't work. You know, that's the bottom line. It's not a well thought out.
How long were you gone? That wasn't long.
It reeks of...
It reeks, that's for sure.
Yeah. Of reactionary.
Yeah.
Is what it does. And small time. Now, yeah, so have you said everything you wanted to say?
Yeah, I got it all out.
Because part of it I connect over to is the big news I said of the week in terms of visit. We got the press release. I got emailed to me, whatever it was, yesterday afternoon, is that the WWE Network has hit 1 million subscribers.
Yeah.
874,000 in the U.S., and 200 and whatever that would be, 26 or
176.
Yeah, 76 in international, which is Canada and everywhere else.
Okay. So what basically, but again, those numbers aren't quite accurate because there's still people like us who are, and you know what? I think a lot of people, like people in the US or the UK or Ireland or whatever, that would actually have to pay more if they actually got it through legit means over there, are still as U.S.
Well, and we've been
customers.
Saying that for years. So
that's not accurate. But, yeah, I mean, no. I mean, obviously, they had a huge jump. It's partially the mania. And I guess that the free month worked, which is why they may do it again. I think they should.
Yeah.
And
Rumble.
The question is for me, yeah, Rumble.
They got a shit ton of people.
And this is after people were so pissed they were saying cancel WWE Network.
Oh, yes.
And people, like the people at the arena were quiet and they were blocking the wrestlers so they couldn't get out. They were near riot levels. Like, they pissed off their audience and it didn't work. Which is why they're going to go see Roman Reigns as the draw.
They did not piss off their audience, is what the...
They intrigued them. Is that what they did? I don't know what they did.
I don't know what they did, but it...
I think it's just the Rumble, and I think it's just Mania.
But it's the day after the Rumble.
Yeah.
Is when they got a shit ton of subscribers.
Yeah.
Monday.
Yeah.
Not Sunday. Monday. They got a shit ton.
Well, no, they got a shit ton.
Well, they got it leading up to it as well. But
they got it leading up during and after.
Yeah.
But the rollout continued.
But the fact is...
It's like everybody was so curious, even though they're hearing how bad it is, they wanted to see it for themselves. Not knowing they'd be able to see it on Raw that night due to the snowstorm.
But the thing is exactly, we've talked about it, that the money follows the, or they follow the money.
Yeah.
Right?
Theoretically.
And, well.
Sometimes Vince McMahon just does what he wants.
No, they follow the money. The money comes and they go that way. The money should follow them. They should create something,
yeah.
And it should make money.
Yeah, I see.
Instead, they make money. They do something, and it happens to make money.
Yeah,
and they go, oh, okay. Like the Daniel Bryan last year was an example of that.
Yeah.
They followed last year that money, and this year now the money, and it's exactly what you said. They're going Roman Reigns is the money.
Yeah,
and that's what they're that's be damned about. This Philadelphia crowd, I mean, mm-hmm. Philadelphia now is bizarro land.
All of Pennsylvania is, because that's where also Pittsburgh last year was where the Royal Rumble was.
Was it last year as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
So it's just a Pennsylvania thing.
Yeah.
It's a Northeast wrestling thing.
It's the Dutch.
Hmm.
Right?
Well, that's true.
So, the Pennsylvania Dutch. But I think, I mean...
It's like two-thirds of them.
What you're going to see is... Yeah, basically all that's going to happen, I think, is you're not going to see a pay-per-view in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, you will.
For as long as they can help it.
Yeah.
I think they'll just stay away. It's only in Toronto.
Not a major one.
Not a Mania that they're in the running for.
Not a Mania. Yeah, it might hurt their Mania.
Oh, it killed it.
Probably.
I guarantee it killed it.
Probably, yeah.
You know, unless they're going to turn Cena heel. It killed it. That's the only reason to do it.
Yeah.
But... The thing is the way that I look at it is yeah, they until proven otherwise now, that, like you said, the crowd's going to boo the shit out of them. As long as the crowd pays, they're not going to give a shit what they do. They're following Roman.
Yeah, they can think that Roman, but it wasn't Roman Reigns that was the draw.
We don't know.
It wasn't because, well...
What was the draw? You know what I mean?
It was like, Brock Lesnar being awesome. It was a five-star match.
No,
curiosity about Daniel Bryan and how bad was this? And is this really the worst Royal Rumble of all time?
Yeah,
it's just the build to WrestleMania in general.
Do I sign up? Do I pay? Do I give $9.99 enough of a shit?
Yep.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I do. But you do.
Obviously people do because they've signed up. And Roman Reigns is not a draw. So,
that we know of. I mean,
he's not. It's Daniel. It's more Daniel Bryan, and it's more Brock Lesnar.
We don't know.
Brock Lesnar is a draw. We do know that.
Well, yes, we know that Brock Lesnar is a draw, but we don't know outside of that.
And people hear about how awesome Rollins was. Rollins is more of a draw than Reigns.
I don't know.
Yeah, he is.
In your mind, there's no, but
there's no way to prove it. This is opinion.
That's what I'm saying. To draw means to draw money, and there is a way to prove it because to be a draw, you have to draw money.
Yeah,
and so
money, in other words, we'll know in the months after in Extreme Rules to SummerSlam is where we'll find out if he's a draw.
I think we will find out in
until May. Then you can't judge anything.
We'll find out in May.
Yeah,
whatever May is. What is May? Cocksuck ground or something?
Extreme Rules is April. So
yeah. So what's in?
So
May?
You're right. May. Whatever's in May.
Whatever's in May. That's what we will find.
And
out.
Even then, yeah. I mean, who knows? Yeah.
And I don't know. Like I said, I said to our good buddy and our wonderful composer of our theme song. I tweeted back and forth to him with Stephen Ajami. Jamie. That I said they went with Lex Luger and we wanted Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And that just sums it right up to me, is that, again, the fans are going to want what they want, but I just... And the best thing that happened to them was the storm.
It's Payback.
Oh.
Okay, Extreme Rules, then Payback.
Okay.
Okay, then Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Then Battleground, then SummerSlam.
So that'll change. Because Battleground is becoming...
No, unless... SummerSlam, then Night of Champions, then Hell in a Cell.
No, no. But Battleground, then... Whatever, they may not change it then to the call it the Elimination Chamber, but the chamber is there.
The chamber is
there. It's going mummy. Your mummy is a skank. Chamber SummerSlam. Yeah. That's the summer. So Battleground.
So Payback is the only time when they won't have any momentum theoretically, as far as because Money in the Bank has become an important event. Elimination Chamber.
Yeah,
has some name behind it. So really, where we might not find out till post SummerSlam if he's still a champion.
No, we might find out on Payback.
To some degree,
yeah.
But it's just one event right in the middle. I don't see a bunch of people dropping it.
You mean hashtag cancel WWE Network?
Yeah, I don't know.
You mean like the eight people?
We'll see
that
where
we
really.
That's the funny part about it. I mean,
we'll really
like,
find out.
Like,
Night of Champions, Hell in a Cell, Survivor Series, TLC. Those are the pay-per-views you find out.
Cancel WWE Network, everybody. Hashtag cancel. Fuck you, I'm quitting. Yeah, I bet whatever. You eight people did.
Yeah, but if they felt that way and people agreed with it or they're saying
nobody
it.
Nobody agreed with it. That's what I'm saying. That's what I laugh about is that they said it and then they
no,
they
and not
actually,
people agreed with it that they tweeted it. But the fact, there's a difference between tweeting with it and just getting something off your chest.
Yeah.
And actually doing it. And that's fine. They felt they had to get something off their chest. They're allowed to.
Yes, I'm not saying they're not allowed to. It just made me laugh that all I saw was this trending was cancel WWE Network, and then like a day and a half later,
it's a way to try
hit
and
a million subscribers.
But it is a way to try and make a difference. I mean, that's what this
whole
thing.
It's a way to try to make a difference. You make a difference with your pocketbook. You don't stand outside and protest like a stupid fucking hippie. Get a goddamn job. Excellent. Just fucking put
just
your money
do both.
Your mouth.
Well, whatever. My point is,
yeah, do both. That's fine if you do both. All I'm saying is that there were thousands enough to tweet out it to trend cancel WWE Network, and like eight people actually went through.
Well, probably more than that. But
okay, nine.
Like who knows? Some people might have done it and then changed their mind. I wouldn't be surprised, you know. Yeah. But I do hear a lot of people were trying to cancel it, and their page crashed, and it was very difficult to actually cancel your subscription. So many people tried to do it that night after the Royal Rumble that the actual website crashed.
Oh yeah,
you could do that. Yeah, so
and you know what? They never landed on the moon.
Then they didn't.
No, the Illuminati is what happened. Just conspiracy. So many people did it. It crashed the network.
Crashed, it did crash.
Sure,
not the network.
And there was a second shooter.
There was.
Yeah. Shooter McGavin?
Mm-hmm. Perry Saturn.
Oh, yeah.
The shooter.
The shooter.
Perry Saturn. But anyways, look, I'm conflicted about the WWE.
You're like Kane.
Jeff Hardy. I'm conflicted. A bit of an enigma.
Right.
To me. Because part of me is
you're
like,
a pussy, Willow.
I, like when they hit a million, I had mixed emotions. Mm-hmm. Like part of me is like, fuck. Now they're not going to change the shitty stuff they're doing. They put on the worst 4 months worth of Raw in the history of the company.
Yeah.
And because they're now have hit a million, instead of changing it, they're not going to. So the idea of them being forced to make some sort of change or to realize the people are upset is not going to happen. And also,
Correct. Also,
it's just funny to see them fail. Frankly, I like they're so arrogant and such assholes so often.
They make
and things like firing a guy on his wedding day. Things like I really, really was, it was fun. I was cheering against them in some ways. On the other hand, I'm cheering for them. Because if they have more money, they're going to bring in better talent. They're going to invest in things that they've taken away that makes for a cool show, like Pyro, that they've all these things they've scaled back on. Mm-hmm. They're going to invest back into the product. And the boys, most importantly, who work their asses off and are way underpaid, have a chance to make more money.
Well, and that's what it is. And that's what you've really been all about, is boys' asses.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that on the air.
Oh, right. Right. But I think I look at well, and in terms of firing people on their wedding day, they only do that to hypocrites.
And he is that. And they're still assholes, but
yeah, why not though? Yeah. You're going to be an asshole. You just be the best damn asshole you can be.
Well, then they're doing it,
right?
But no, I mean, I really want, I like the guys, not the guys in the upper card, but the guys in the mid card, the lower mid card. They're so vastly underpaid. And even the guys at the top, I want to see the guys make a lot of money. They're the best in the world at what they do, and they work their asses off.
Well, Jericho's not in the company right now.
But the guys in the WWE are the best, or some of the best in the world. The 500 best word wrestlers in the world, a good portion of them are in the WWE. Yeah. They're used like shit.
Eric Rowan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, though, I had the same thing with you in terms of the both sides of the coin. And as I said, I basically settled it out to be, I'm exactly like this makes no impact to me, because it's good. In I guarantee you, that's where we got Rock.
Yeah,
we may keep Western now.
Yeah,
because the economics are going to change that favorably, but they're going to push Roman because of this.
I know,
right? So it's like,
and they're not going to stop doing Raws the way they've been doing them, even though
they did.
Well, they didn't have a choice.
Oh,
we'll see if they went. If, like I say, to me, it was a lesson that you can do this type of show and still hold your audience. But I don't think they think that.
And honestly, I don't know what the big deal is. They kept talking on Raw on Monday. All they were talking about is how this was so crazy because here we are coming to you, television, Monday night, with a blizzard. Right? Mm-hmm. And I just thought back, before Raw, they came to me, television, every night with a monsoon. Mm-hmm. So what's the big deal?
And Nitro had a glacier.
Well, not really.
But they used to have an earthquake and a typhoon. Well, WWE did.
That's true. But that was superstars.
Yeah.
It was totally different.
What I'm saying is that they're used to a natural disaster in the company.
That's true. That's true.
It was called Russo.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now. And later, Gewurz.
Yes.
And then Laurinaitis.
And Laurinaitis. Don't forget Dunn.
Yeah.
Remember that thing we actually did? This would have been like episode 10 or something like that. And I think we're closing in at like 300 or
douche
something like that.
Douche or no douche?
Yes.
Yes.
We took the people that were in management positions of the company for TNA and WWE, and we said douche or no douche. And we went through, and like almost all, I would love to do that again, because it's been a while.
Sure, there's new people.
There's new people, yeah.
Hunter, we didn't do Hunter.
We didn't do Hunter at the time. He wasn't somebody to, you know, Michael PSAs, though, was like SmackDown head writer, right?
He was not a douche.
Yeah, he was the one, I think he was the one who was not a douche, because they were putting on the better show.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right, back in the day.
Back in the day.
Well, now Raw.
Fuck,
Raw,
we've done a lot of these things. What are we doing?
I don't know. Raw is SmackDown this week, though.
Yeah. And that's why I actually want to see SmackDown, because it's going to be a 2-hour show with all the big angles, and it'll be live, and it'll be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and they're going to have Kane and Daniel Bryan in a casket match. I had figured it would be a buried alive match on account of Daniel Bryan.
Bury him!
Just for trivia's sake, do you know what the last casket match was in the World Wrestling Federation?
I don't know, no.
I thought you, of all people, would know. This is Undertaker against Chavo Guerrero. Seriously, that is seriously the last casket match.
That can't have been a pay-per-view.
I think it's probably just a SmackDown. But
it's got to be. Now I got to look it up.
That was the last casket match.
Obviously, Guerrero obviously went over.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
He got the Duke.
He did. He was a whopper.
Yeah. Chavo Guerrero. I'll just go Chavo casket mask because I don't actually know how to spell Guerrero.
No, that's true. I'm surprised you got casket right.
How do you spell Chavo?
Oh, by the way, I've decided it's the...
Yeah, it's on SmackDown.
There you go. I have decided that from here on in, I'm going to refer to it as the World Wrestling Federation Network.
Oh, why?
Because that's all I watch.
WWF portion?
WWF Network.
Well, we fucking watched this 24 WrestleMania thing right before doing this, and it was terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
It was so terrible.
It wasn't necessary. That's what it was. If you want to watch, there was some great clips of the Ultimate Warrior. Go fucking watch the Ultimate Warrior documentary.
Yeah, that's not terrible. That's excellent. This was terrible.
There was, yeah, but they clipped from it.
Yeah.
Fine. Unnecessary. We had some, the interesting stuff with Hogan, Rock and Stone Cold, right? But they have also have a section on the network called like Tidbits or something.
Yeah.
Where there's like just 5 minute clips.
Yeah.
That's what it needed to be.
That's what it needed to be.
And then you had that Connor kid, the guy that died, the Crusher, Connor, the Crusher that died of cancer. 5 minute clip.
Yeah.
You could have done that in a little section there, right? Yeah. You didn't need an hour.
The thing is
I didn't need to see fucking Sasha Banks and Hunter's stupid He-Man fucking thing where he talked about how this He-Man persona thing gave something for fans to gravitate to.
That's really taken off.
Yeah.
It's just something I wore once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, nobody cares about that.
Something, I just, wore once,
And it's something we've been making fun of since.
Yes.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And for good reason.
Because it's stupid.
Because it fucking sucked a cock.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I mean, like, yeah, like, that's the thing is, comes across more like a feel-good WWE PR piece than actually anything interesting. Now, I mean, you had Hogan there, you had Austin and Rock, them arriving, them meeting, them practicing, them going to the ring, them coming back and laughing about it. You said 5 minutes. I think you could have done a whole hour on that. And I think that would have been awesome.
And Sean coming over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Telling them, no bullshit. That was great.
That was great, yeah.
Like, you know, like, I think you could have done an hour on that. I would have been ecstatic. If you had done an hour on The Undertaker, you did like 3 minutes on The Taker losing his streak.
I thought that
you could have done an hour on Lesnar and Taker and Heyman and Vince afterwards. And like, you showed people watching the match. Like, you showed Tyson Kidd and Bret Hart right beside each other in catering watching the match.
Yeah.
And then you never showed their post-match reaction, which is way more interesting than them watching the match looking like they got their thumbs up their asses.
Yeah.
You know? There's just... I thought...
In Tyson Kidd's defense, he did have his thumb up his ass.
Oh. He was checking for cats.
Mm-hmm. Cat scan.
I gotta give him he likes his pussy.
He does. He does. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think when I agree, there was some really good stuff. I think they could do they don't do DVDs anymore.
No.
Because it all just goes on the fucking network. But a DVD or a thing, you could do the DVD on the streak being broken.
Yeah.
A whole documentary around it. And I mean, that piano, the Undertaker's music played on piano as he walks.
That was cool. That was a cool thing. Yeah.
That was really, that was a main event anywhere in the country.
Yeah, that was your like most interesting moment.
That made the whole thing for me.
As far as them being in doing the promotion and leading up to the event and talking to the radio guys and all this shit, I don't give a fuck.
This was,
like I say, then it's just a PR piece. Well, I'm used to seeing these 2 minute PR pieces on Raw, you know, to let us know what great people they are.
Or on the DVDs. I mean, yeah, when you do like a John Cena DVD or whatever, they show them fucking around on the.
But
on
if
the
that's radio what it's going to be, it's going to be a brand new one. If the next one's going to be Extreme Rules and the same thing, I don't care. If it was going to be like we've seen with the Shield leading up to their match that they had.
I think that's what it is. I honestly think the Shield and the Uso thing, I think they're just going to now brand these documentaries WWE 24.
Which I'm fine with. They had the Daniel Bryan one, Road to WrestleMania thing.
I took away from that
and that's and that would be fine. But this itself sucked a cock.
It didn't.
It's terrible.
It wasn't terrible. I said it was unnecessary, but there were
boring.
It wasn't boring.
It was boring.
There were parts in it that were good. There were a couple.
If you wait a half hour in, there's a good part.
Yeah, there. So it wasn't terrible. As I said, it was unnecessary. The whole thing didn't need to be an hour.
Kelly the whole thing.
It didn't need to be an hour. It just needed to be some clips. That's it. If you would put it in 5 minute clips, great stuff. Right, the little Connor thing, you know.
That's heart-wrenching.
Yeah,
that is,
you know, and you had to put that in a 5 minute clip. Like, that's what it seemed to me, is that, you know, continuity is so important if you want to go all the way and become the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions. Continuity also the same.
I'd have no problem if you spent the whole episode on Connor. I have the problem of the way...
I do. See, as I said, I don't think that there was...
Well, maybe there isn't enough
little
on
tidbit.
But on some of these things,
I mean,
there wasn't.
I was only
enough.
Four.
On some of these things, there was... Fuck. On some of these things, there was enough to give us a full...
I mean, Daniel Bryan, Cena Connor, you know, you helped me out there, you know, that after he won the title there. That was cool.
Yeah.
But...
Daniel Bryan's a good person.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about when we went to the SmackDown a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan was like the only one that came up to that Down syndrome girl.
No, Randy Orton did at the end too. After the camera's off,
yeah.
The camera's off air, he did.
Well, he thought he was going to a mirror.
I was just about to take a sip.
Very narcissistic.
Could have easily been, you could have had to save my life again.
All right. Do we have any questions? We have some questions here.
We got a few.
Okay. Why don't you read the question? Any day now.
Are we going to do battle first question?
No.
We'll save it for then.
Yes. Yeah, we'll do that later.
Yeah, that's because we, I think since, what, November, we've been promising to answer his or her question.
I think her.
You think her?
I think her. Battle farts. Battling the need to fart. I think that's a her.
Yeah. What was that? Anyways, Davey.
Mm-hmm.
Has asked us, you guys are from Calgary.
Yes, we are.
And he asked us if we know if any of Stampede Wrestling is going to come on the network. And if so, what would we like to see?
Oh.
What do you think?
I would like to see it. I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, they're very... The thing that I look at is that there's so much World Wrestling Federation stuff that they haven't put out yet. That and for that matter, WCW Nitros,
yeah.
too. You know, that
Thunders. Well, even tell you the truth, I mean, maybe it's like there was a point where the Harts and the Hart family were like, if they were doing the network in 1997, Stampede Wrestling is the first territory you put on there.
That was a great year.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that people are more anxious for Stampede than they are for more world class. They put on just a few or
NWA,
or Smoky Mountain or. Or
ECW.
Yeah, like I don't know that that there's
Portland.
I feel like the legend of Stampede Wrestling has somewhat. There is nobody there right now. The closest is Tyson Kidd, and he's not really.
Well, Natalya.
Yeah, but I just feel like it's certainly not as prevalent in the foundation of the company as it once was. It felt like at one point
foundation.
Oh, I didn't even do it on
see
purpose.
What you did there.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
It's a coincidence.
Okay. Lucky. Finish your spot.
Yeah, so anyways, I feel like they're not as I don't know, somehow the legend of Stampede Wrestling and the legend of WWE for a while there were tied in together, and now I don't feel like they are. So, hey, would I like to see it? Yeah, because I'd like to see all this stuff.
Well,
I want to see it more than some of the stuff I haven't seen, like you know, Georgia Championship Wrestling or something? Not really, because I haven't seen that stuff. For somebody like, if you're somebody who has seen that stuff and would like to see Stampede Wrestling, what do you want to see there? You know, I mean, anytime something popped a territory, you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like Dynamite Kid came in, the first time he came in, he popped the territory.
Oh, great ladder match, though. You know, ladder matches, I should say. Though that would be something to put on is...
The early ladder matches,
ladder
the Dan Profit and the Bad News Allen versus Bret Hart.
And Dynamite Kid.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things to
the
see.
The ones
because,
when they weren't anywhere else.
And you could, I mean, and when you say like, what do I want to see and what's possible to see, those are possible to see as we get to TLC. If they're going to do something on ladder matches, they could just, you know, you might not get the episode of Stampede Wrestling, but you could at least get some of their ladder matches from the early 80s that really are the pioneer for what we got, right?
Some remarkable. Nobody else took it to another territory and mentioned it all those years.
No, I know, because it was what, 94?
Because there's so many of them. Yeah.
It was like 13, 14 years in between, right?
Yeah.
That would be great. I mean, what else? I mean, well, the thing is that most of the Stampede Wrestling guys all went to WWF.
Well, yeah, and hey, it's actually fascinating to watch like Bret Hart and Dynamite Kid, or you know, I mean, Dynamite and Davey Boy against each other when they're young, and you know, but to some degree, I think. But again, I mean, these aren't. It's not like they like because Davey Boy Smith passed away, because Dynamite has been, you know, his troubles.
Ripper.
It's not like they're even, again...
Bad News is dead, Owen Hart is dead. right?
Yeah, like there's like you really don't have
Brian
the guys.
Brian Pillman.
Yeah, Brian Pillman is probably the only one that they actually is still part of their
Chris Benoit
lore, so to speak.
You know
what I mean? Like, yeah. like you know, you might hear a mention of Brian Pillman, and they did a documentary and DVD, and you don't have that of the Bulldogs, and
no,
you know, so they're kind of persona non grata because of how they died and how their lives have been and whatever. So that,
which is funny because Pillman's the one that OD'd.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I know it's true. Well, I mean, yeah.
No, I mean Smith died. Not... Oh,
what was that?
That was you.
I'm just sitting here. How can it be me?
You did it. You did it. You know what happened? It's a ghost because we're talking about the hearts. And do you see what caused this?
What? Oh, is that what fell over?
That's what fell
broken
over.
Hearts.
Broken Hearts, The Life and Death of Owen Hart by Martha Hart and Eric Francis.
That's a little creepy, actually.
That is very creepy. Yeah. And it is you, because you're hitting this thing right now, the back of your head. Yeah, see? Okay, there you go.
Better?
Yeah.
Fucker.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Anyways, it could be for good radio, though.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, so, I mean, but that's the thing. Again, you don't have the... I mean,
good point.
So many people aren't, like, these guys that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame aren't in the Hall of Fame and aren't about to go in.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the other reason they don't do it. Although, I mean, you could, and again, if you're going to do it, there is still, and we've said it for years and years and years, there is enough to do a Stampede documentary in terms of, like, you think of, like, Brett
Well, they did the one on the... But they did the one on the Hart family.
No, but I'm talking even...
And that's like the other thing is...
Jake Roberts,
whole...
Honky Tonk Man.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big Daddy Ritter is JBD. You know, there was so many guys. Muckin Singh is Bastion Booger. You know, just so many guys.
Outback Jack.
Out Book Juke. That came through the territory.
There's a lot of guys who got, I mean, fucking Billy Graham.
Fucking. Yeah.
Billy Graham got a start here. Harley Race, yeah.
Not to get a start, but I mean, Harley
Race. No, Harley
Race
didn't, but Billy Graham did.
No, but Don Morocco was in, you know, just like all these guys that came through that you could do a documentary on just that alone.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, when you have. They can't really mention Benoit, they can't mention Owen.
Well, they could mention Owen before they could. They can't mention Benoit.
They can't mention Benoit.
But Owen they can mention. They did the fucking Hart family DVD.
Yeah, and it led to a lawsuit.
Yeah.
So I don't know that they can do another
sold.
I don't know.
But you don't know.
No, I don't know. But I don't. Let's put it this way. They haven't since then.
No.
Done anything with him.
Well, no.
In any way to highlight him, to put him in the Hall of Fame, to market him in any
very
way.
True.
You know?
Very
so
true. I understand that the Honky Tonk Man's wife is suing as well.
Yeah.
Because they haven't done anything with Honky Tonk Man or put him in the Hall of Fame or
oh, please.
Him.
You're comparing a Honky Tonk Man to Owen Hart?
Hmm?
Lift my cock.
In terms of the amount of publicity that they've been getting lately.
He's gotten more.
Honky? Yeah. Well, yes, he has because he's there to show up, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Owen Hart would have inducted Coco Beware into the Hall of Fame as high energy.
High energy.
Yeah.
I just
should
did that.
Have, didn't it? Yeah. I did it better, though.
No, really?
Yeah, you gotta remember, right?
No.
Yeah, people think I am Coco.
Yeah. People think I'm Wade Barrett.
It's true. It's true. We should see when we're on the train together. Coco Ware and Wade Barrett, you guys know each other?
Like, we're ever on a train together, ever. The next time will be the first time. Train, where did that come from?
It was a C train.
Yeah, but we don't go on. Yes.
Way to pull back the curtain. You're breaking the fourth wall here.
But, okay, so yeah, I mean, you're right. If they did do some of those guys that came through, or, you know, I mean, it was really interesting once, actually, you had... Bret Hart and the Hart Foundation and the Bulldogs feuding in WWE.
Yep.
Every now and then they had the chance to come back and work for Dad after the company started again, and they would open up a bigger venue and those guys would come in, they would sell it out.
Yep.
And they would main event here, and but of course Bret was very popular because it was his hometown, and just like that stuff was interesting. But was I mean, I don't know the quality of the tape. I mean, do they have like all the Stampede Wrestling? They have less Stampede Wrestling
they
library.
Have all of it.
Well, no, they wouldn't have all of it because it would have taped over. But what I'm saying is they'd have all this available, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, how much do they have from when the first time Abdullah the Butcher came in? Because, again, he popped this territory and turned the company from losing money into making big money.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. So what do you have for him? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the type of thing that I don't know. Like, but, I mean, that's stuff that I haven't seen either.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would love to see. So, I mean, there's a ton there. But
I'd like to relive the Stomper Gold.
You got to understand.
Bad News Allen stuff.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It was great. Yeah. But that's the thing you had to understand. Like, who's Archie Goldie to them?
Yeah.
You know?
He's the Mongolian Stomper. The best Canadian wrestler of all time.
Yeah, that's what Pat Patterson thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're very...
well, Patterson's just
this territory, like most of these territories, it was as much as any territory. I mean, you would have hardcore wrestling... crazy hardcore wrestling here way before ECW that would remind you of it. But and you'd also have you had a high flying era, you know, when people got bored of that and business went down, then the high flying era came in, and technical wrestling era, and you have the different eras in that way. So
they're a lot like ECW in that sense. Is that ECW, you know, when they lost,
like, I'm trying to think of how you can describe the company,
but a lot like ECW,
not a lot of big guys,
trashy at one point at technical at another.
Yeah.
They brought in the Japanese instead of the Luchas, but it was the same evolution. And then it was finally just kind of the, I'll call it the riffraff at the end. And then it just ended.
But it wasn't a really super angle-heavy company. It was one of the things that, in the tape trading days in the 80s, Stampede Wrestling was one of the most popular and had one of the best reputations.
Yeah.
And it was because it was an action company. Like, it was an action show. They were clip matches, but they were action matches. And that was one of the things that really appealed to people.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, again, though, when you're... Now, if you're going to show a... You know, then if it was a 20-minute match for television, you might show the first... You'd come in, it's already 5 minutes in. They'd show you about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Then they cut to the last 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and... People are so not used to seeing their television that way. I don't know how it would come across.
There's really no ring entrances, right? It was just all of a sudden they had the graphic on the screen and Ed Whalen went, Flying Brian.
So rare to see a full match.
And Goldie Rogers.
Here, yeah,
right? Exactly. It's just one of those things that was the announcer then talking about.
Yeah, it was already going on. Yeah. It was already 5 minutes in or something like that. Sometimes, you know, longer. So
yeah. Just weird. But yeah, which is, the first time I went... I found that out.
Yeah.
Because I knew that, you know, that we didn't get ring introductions. I never really thought of it, but it's like, okay, the match is going on, but you think, like, the match just started.
Yeah.
And then you go on Friday night, and then you watch it Saturday afternoon.
Because Ed Whalen would say things like, we're 10 minutes into the match now, and blah, blah, blah. Like, he would say the time.
Well, sometimes he would. He wouldn't always. But
not always, no.
But you didn't really, until then, like, again, you go Friday night, and you see it Saturday morning, and it's like, huh, you realize how much... They didn't show.
Yeah.
Because you see this hour program, and then you realize that you're at the arena for 2.5, 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
And every match got shown, right? It's like they left, like, maybe one match out, right?
Yeah,
it's like, huh.
Exactly. Like, they really did show you a lot of matches and angles and get everybody on the TV in an hour because they were showing you clip matches. And of the main event, they would probably show you, if it went a half hour, you'd see 15 minutes. You'd see the most important 15 minutes, but not the whole thing.
That's right.
Let's check to see, you're allowed to check to see how you did in King
Ooh.
Of the Ring. That's... Because I'm checking to see how I did.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah. So I figure if I'm allowed to do it, you're allowed to do it. So why don't you give us the next question we have, though, because we have a few here.
We do. The other question goes back to the Royal Rumble, and that's... The Bannibal.
Who's this?
Here.
The Bannibal. So we got a regular, DVDV and the Bannibal.
Yeah. He wants to know if we think that anybody came out of this Royal Rumble, in the Royal Rumble match, I guess, better.
Better?
Like, did anybody come out...
Elevated?
Yeah.
The closest they... I mean, Roman Reigns, technically, right? He won it, and he eliminated, what, four or five people?
I don't know if he came out better, though.
Yeah, I know, because he's getting booed out of the building. They wanted it to be Bray Wyatt. He got a lot of eliminations. He got some mic time. I think Bray, he was in there Bray long. Wyatt probably. He was in there, he's the closest, he was in like, there a long
and that
time.
Isn't just the Rumble, though. Bray Wyatt in 2015, I think.
Maybe.
The year of 2015.
Maybe, but I would say that the way he was just knocked out and thrown over like a bag of wet cement, that literally, I think that really hurt him. He just looked so weak in his elimination.
I don't even remember his elimination.
I do. To me, he looked so weak. So, I mean, I think that hurt what they tried to do with him.
But part of it, too, is going to be the follow-up, right? Because, again, it's going to be SmackDown because...
yeah, we won't know until then.
We don't know because how do they follow it up? And that's going to be...
No, don't play the game. Fucking just check your King of the Ring.
No, I'm playing the game.
No, fuck.
I played the game. I just got Jick at the Snake.
Okay, good. How did you do?
Oh, I qualified. Lost. I told you, I lost.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, did you?
Yes.
Let me see. Holy fuck, you lost. Oh, go claim your rewards. Then. Oh, you can't claim it for another hour.
What?
You can't claim until the next game starts, then and you're eliminated. Then you can claim your reward.
Well, that's gay.
Which will be probably 2 uncommon cards, I think. Which is alright for you.
You know how gay that is? That's Darren Young. No, that's Pat Patterson.
He's gay?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
As in he likes to, you know, with other, you know?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry, what?
I whispered to you.
Oh. Let's see. So, we'll do...
Ass fucking.
Huh.
That's what I heard gay people do.
Really? Mm-hmm. And is it that point when you realized you're a gay person?
All right, so what was the question? Oh, yeah, so, yeah. Well, Bray Wyatt's the closest.
Okay, but what are they, like, Royal Rumbles, like, can we think of anybody? I'm just trying to think now, okay, nobody really. Maybe Bray Wyatt's the closest. So is there anybody in Royal Rumbles past?
Well, there's a few, yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely a few. To me, the
I think Diesel.
Diesel, definitely. Diesel had that Diesel spot. That was the first time we saw that spot. Where a guy just tosses at everybody, just waits.
Not the liver spot. Not the dog spot.
The Diesel spot.
The Diesel spot.
Where he just tosses out everybody and the crowd's chanting for him even though he's a heel. And he's just looking dominant, looking like a monster.
And with a mullet.
Until Sean comes out. And Sean also, when he entered as one and won it.
Yeah.
Because up until then, I don't think he was really considered a main eventer.
No.
So that was a good one for him.
And I think, I think that the foot...
Yes, the foot spot.
The one foot spot, only one of Shawn Michaels' feet touched the floor. That I don't want to say that actually defined Shawn Michaels for a few years.
Yeah, for a while.
So I would say that Shawn Michaels...
Shawn and Diesel, they're two people that definitely did. I mean, before that you had your Iron Mans, Bob Backlund with Iron Man for a while. Ricky Martel.
Ric Flair, I think.
I don't think it did anything for Flair because he was already great. So I don't think it elevated him. I think it just to me, it was just
cemented
this is
him,
what
though.
It's just what you expected to me. He was great.
No, you went into that Royal Rumble with Hogan and Taker as the program, both men getting the preferential treatment that they can't go in until at least 20, and you had Savage. And
but we knew what Ric Flair was.
We didn't know what Ric Flair was.
We didn't know what Diesel was.
But that was Ric Flair's arrival in the World Wrestling Federation.
I don't think it elevated him though. I think we already knew that he was Ric fucking Flair.
I think just when he comes
was already
close
Ric Flair.
To greatness, though, he does something stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you had your Iron Man match, man, but I mean, was it the same year that Flair was in that also Valentine was in for like 50 minutes? And there was the year that like DiBiase was in forever.
DiBiase was in for, like 45 minutes 1 year.
So, I mean, you had guys like that who looked good, but just kind of the way it went. Like somehow being the record holder of greatest Royal Rumble, longest Royal Rumble for Martel or Backlund didn't mean as much back then.
No, because it didn't do anything for them.
No.
It was like, oh, that's going to be cool. Like, it became a thing.
It's like Yoshitatsu winning that battle royal before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Didn't do a goddamn thing.
Well, and it's like, who's going to be the Iron Man?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, well, that just became a thing And then, but it didn't really, like, Hunter, I think, was the Iron Man 1 year.
Yeah, but who gives a fuck?
And it didn't do anything for him. Like, nothing has ever come from being the Iron Man, unless you win it, like Ray did, right?
Like Ray did, or Benoit. I mean, Benoit did something for him when he won it.
Well,
yeah, it did. It did. But,
I don't know. I think the Royal Rumble the year earlier.
His match with Angle for sure did, too.
But,
I mean, the guy to me that always got the greatest rub ever from the Royal Rumble was Kane. Like, 11 eliminations and just eliminated everybody, came down to be the runner-up. Because you have to remember, like, Kane came in and he was the big red monster. He was destroying everybody, then feuded with Undertaker, lost. But then after that, was teamed with The Undertaker and was dominant again.
Yeah.
Dominant. And then somewhere around 1999, he starts teaming with X-Pac, and he starts talking, and he becomes a lot less, you don't take him as seriously. And he was a lower mid-carder going into that Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And he came out of that Royal Rumble an upper mid-carder again. Or higher.
Yeah.
Like, maybe even a main eventer. Like, he
stayed at that level until he fucked his dead girlfriend.
But can you blame him? She was hot.
Because of the fire. Like Hunter to me. But, I mean, it's just one of those
things. But, no, I mean, he had already, like, we'd seen guys come in, you're the monster, you get pushed, and then eventually you start losing, you go down. You saw it with, like, Yokozuna. You know, you come in, he was pushing that towards the end, he's jobbing everybody. And that's where Kane was. And I didn't think he was going to come back up like he did.
No.
And he did. And so that Royal Rumble to me is the greatest.
That was the worst Royal Rumble ever then.
I mean, Reigns last year to some degree. Didn't mean as much as
There's been some unsung heroes in the role. Like, people that you don't talk about. Like the British Bulldog. Did extremely well in Royal Rumbles.
Yes, he did.
You know,
and then John Morrison had the spot before Kofi.
Yeah.
John Morrison, yeah, like I say, for a couple of years there, had that spot first.
Yeah.
Shawn
Michaels before had the, you know, not to the degree because everything has to keep getting elevated. You know, one taking one step, the Kofi and the Morrison, but Shawn Michaels was the Kofi and the Morrison of the time.
And I think when Austin won it.
The first time? Yeah, that was a great one.
Seriously, because he was eliminating people. He was so funny and entertaining and charismatic. He was a heel, but the crowd couldn't help but cheer him.
Because
him looking at his clock, like hitting his arm, like it's his watch, and
yeah.
Like it's ticking and holding it up to his ear. And then his reaction when Bret Hart's music played.
Stunning Phineas.
He stood out as a major talent.
Yeah.
He won it, but...
That was 97.
How was that year?
Great year.
He won it, but, I mean, it was really more his... Not even so much the booking of winning it. It was more his performance. He elevated himself in that Rumble.
Yeah,
More than anybody else I could think of ever, he elevated himself
He elevated himself the story of Stone Cold.
It's true.
But, yeah, I think of, you know, and I also think for some people, the Royal Rumble was a resurgence. The Royal Rumble got Jake the Snake rehired.
True.
Because he got a huge...
Got Goldust rehired.
Got Goldust, got Kurt Hennig rehired. Right?
Yeah.
Got Diesel and Booker T rehired.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so there's maybe get Bubba Ray rehired.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? But it's, so those are the Rumble memories, I guess, in terms of...
people being elevated.
Yeah.
So how long are we into the show now?
About an hour.
About an hour? Go another 15 minutes or so?
Just to get warmed up.
Okay.
Well, we also have to talk about the new celebrity in the World Wrestling Federation Hall of Fame. The Governator. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Is this the first time a celebrity has been inducted into the Hall of Fame who didn't appear at a pay-per-view?
Let's think. Probably. Probably.
All of them theoretically meant something for pay-per-view or pay-per-view buys.
Well, they didn't mean something. Drew Carey didn't mean it.
No, I know he didn't. Theoretically,
He was on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, he was one of the guys Kane eliminated.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And, I mean, you had Mr. T, obviously. The Refrigerator Perry. You know, Bob Uecker.
Mm-hmm.
On there.
Pete Rose.
Who else is in the...
Celebrity
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson, yeah. who meant a lot. Mr. T meant a lot, right?
Mr. T meant a lot. Bob Uecker meant a lot.
Yeah.
Trying to think, is Dick Ebersol in the Hall of Fame, or did he just induct Uecker?
I think he just inducted him. I don't think he's in. And I wouldn't really call him a celebrity. I just don't know what else you'd call him. Builder?
Dick?
Little Penis?
Why don't I just go to the Hall of Fame?
You can do that?
Probably.
Oh. Where can you find that?
It's at WeTalkWrestling.com.
No, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there was that question. Did you hear it? What's your favorite wrestling podcast?
Oh, yes, I did hear that. It's WeTalkWrestling.com. Well, here's a tweet from our buddy, our pal Scott Stanford.
Oh, yeah? What does it say? Wouldn't the Wikipedia be easier for this?
No. Oh. Shut up.
Okay. All right, then.
Let's go. Well, Arnold is already there.
Arnold's already there.
Okay, so nobody here that's in there.
Nope, nobody there.
Nobody there. Bob Uecker.
Yeah, Bob.
Fucking love Bob Uecker.
Bob fucking Uecker. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not seeing anybody there. I don't know why my Bob Uecker sounds like my Mikey Whipwreck.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. Pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view for sure. Huge pay-per-view. Yeah.
It's looking like the answer is yes.
He's the first one. So theoretically, he's meant the least.
Oh.
What this is...
Not even theoretically.
It was the unpredictable
Johnny Rods. Man, Coco beware.
It's a good picture of Coco, actually.
It is. Yeah. All meaning more.
Yeah.
I love Mr. Fuji.
No, I think that's... Yeah, I think we can, you know, pretty much say that he is... What this is Triple H is going into like the Bodybuilder Hall of Fame or something.
He went in 2013. That's a great picture of Stu Hart, by the way.
Like some, it's some sort of.
You think he's pulling out a wedgie?
Knowing Stu, it's possible.
Here I get a wedgie.
Yeah, but I mean that's I mean this is reciprocal.
Jeps.
For who's that guy? Vincent J. McMahon.
Yes.
I hear he was a pro wrestling promoter.
I heard that.
Yeah. So he's the first one to ever...
not appear on a PPV.
And it was on a SmackDown first, and then, you know...
And then he came back for a movie thing with Raw, because it was like him and Hogan together on Raw.
He was, for one of his new movies since he was Terminator.
Yeah, one of his shit movies. Or
whatever. Yeah. Actually, I think I liked that movie. The Last Stand, I think it was.
Whatever.
Yeah, actually, it's pretty good. But either way, yeah, so he came back for The Last Stand. Who cares? The point is that the SmackDown one, I mean, SmackDown, I suppose, its ratings were probably better than Raw is now. But I would
guarantee it.
More viewers, but, I mean, it was even SmackDown back then. Like, he beat up Triple H. Triple H has gone into some Hall of Fame that he's in. Now he's getting back, and it's just them. They like to rub elbows with major celebrities to make them feel like they're more important in the world of pop culture and entertainment than they actually are, and that's what this is.
Yeah, that's just it's in California. He used to be the governor, right? No, really. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's part of it. Right? I suppose.
Was
he a good governor?
No.
Okay. Seriously, I don't know.
No. The fucking state almost went broke.
Seriously?
Like, it was on the brink.
He's a terrible governor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So celebrate him.
Yeah, exactly. Right? He's a heel. But, thoughts on, you said...
Like Dolph Ziggler wants to be?
Who's gonna...
We never mentioned this.
Bruno?
Oh, fuck. No, I don't think it'll be Bruno. It'll be Hunter.
Probably will be Hunter.
It'll be Hunter.
Yeah.
Of course it'll be Hunter.
Should be Bruno.
Could be Hogan.
He inducted Bruno.
Could be Hogan.
Right?
So it won't be Bruno.
No, it won't be Hogan. Hogan's doing Savage.
Oh, that's right.
So.
Could be another, like, Hollywood celebrity. They could get Danny DeVito. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. There's a new Twins movie coming out.
That's true. And so, I mean, he's already Torito. So it would just play out.
Who's the third person in the Twins, though, now? It's Eddie Murphy, I believe. Seriously. It's like Triplets is the sequel. And it's Eddie Murphy's the third. If I could only... You had the same reaction. You basically had the same look that people had when Undertaker got beat. Like,
Jesus.
It's Eddie Murphy, Danny DeVito, so it could be any of these
movies. I understand that Bubba Ray Dudley thought that Danny DeVito or Eddie Murphy was R-Truth.
Yeah, could be. You know what? Didn't work at all. But, you know, I could...
Because they're both black. Let's see.
That did work.
Comedy 101. When a joke bombs, explain it.
What's that say? 15 moves that really do exist?
Yeah, we've already looked at that one.
Okay, I'm just wondering. Yeah. But, yeah. I was wondering for you, actually, who do you think are the best tag team promos? Speaking of Bubba. Tag team promos.
Do the Mega Powers count?
No, they have to be a regular tag team.
Huh. So no constipated tag teams.
So any tag team with Macho Man that cannot be.
Who
sounded constipated.
Okay, do I need to...
Yeah,
give me a laxative.
Regular tag teams.
Shit it.
Shit into it.
Need a excitement. Snap into an X-Lax. Ooh, yeah.
Dig it.
No, I can't think of a promo. I can think of a couple, but I think in terms of great tag team promos, regular tag teams...
I was thinking, like, yeah, who's a promo tag team, not an individual promo that stands out. Like, just a team that you go, okay, those guys are always going to consistently give me a good promo, and they're a team.
Owen and Davey?
No, fuck no.
Oh.
I mean...
Fook no.
Fook no. Well, better than Dynamite and Davey.
That was great, I told you about that. On the network when Dynamite just gives this look.
I didn't get to speak. I
didn't get my fucking shit in.
What the fuck? Edge and Christian. And, I mean, Bubba being one of the best promos in the business of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Means that the Dudley boys count. Though it's all Bubba.
Well, yeah, but it was all Owen.
Yeah, but they don't count. They're not as... No.
Owen was great.
Yeah,
I'm the leader. Leave us alone.
That's not really a regular tag team. They were only together for a year.
What? They were a regular tag team.
No.
Yes, they were together for a year?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, whatever. I don't care.
In your
house.
I
don't count them.
September 1995.
They're not as good. Edge and Christian.
They teamed for all of 97.
I don't fucking want the end. Yeah, whatever. The point is... Like Legion of Doom, no. I think I think Demolition though was pretty good tag. Like I like them as a promo.
Well, when Mr. Fuji,
I mean, Legion of Doom wasn't a bad promo. They were, you know, they were about the
they did what
catchphrase.
They did. Yeah, they did. Their thing.
Demolition, I didn't mind.
The thing was with all of the NWA
Edge
ones,
and Christian for sure, and the Dudley Boys because of Bubba being incredible. Yeah,
those
are the guys that stand out.
What about the Brainbusters?
I think the Brainbusters are really
solid. Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, both put them together.
I
right?
think they're really solid.
Because all those
too.
Midnight Express, and so they had Cornette talking.
Yeah,
for them, right.
Exactly.
So they weren't the promo.
Yeah.
You know, I try to think of, you know, any other. I'm trying to think of other tag teams. Even like, you know, Heenan did some of the talking. Into talking for the Blackjacks, right?
Yeah.
And for Bockwinkel and Stevens, right? I mean, what about the Texas Outlaws? Dick Murdoch and Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the Funk Brothers, right? Oh, you know who had to be in? We didn't actually
Jimmy
get
Jimmy Jack was a great promo.
Yeah, but you know who actually, we probably didn't, I can't think of enough promos to them together, but I can't see how they weren't great. Would it be the East-West connection of Jesse the Body Ventura and Adrian Adonis?
Adrian,
that must have been like...
God, there was this, B and I were watching, before the Rumble, we were watching an old episode of Primetime on the network. And they actually had adorable Adrian Adonis cutting a promo. And adorable Adrian Adonis came out dressed with makeup and wearing a dress and had a purse or whatever he had. And he cut Adrian Adonis promo.
Yeah.
Nobody does. For all you people sitting on your couch that want to do what I do, you can't do what I do because the name on the marquee says wrestling and nobody is a better wrestler than Adrian Adonis.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just like, he was wearing a dress, but...
He still, because the words was
he wasn't doing the flower shop shit, right? It was East-West Connection Adrian Adonis wearing a dress, cutting a promo.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right? I think of, what about Los Guerreros?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I had no problem with that one. I think that's a good one.
Good,
one.
What about Hall and Nash?
Yeah, I'll count that.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
They were a good promo team.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
You know?
I got no problem with that one.
But the Steiners, not so much. What about...
No, not the Steiners.
Actually, you know
what's
a great promo? Money, Inc.
Rotunda was never a good promo. But DiBiase was so good.
DiBiase was so good.
The characters worked together so well,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. They were pretty good.
He popped in and didn't do all the... Like, it was nice because he didn't carry the promo load.
Yeah.
But he was there enough just to say something and not be stupid, right?
Yeah. You know who I... Nasty Boys? No.
No. What about Sheik and Volkov?
Yeah. They were a great promo, but
Gene
not for
Walker,
reason.
You are a stupid Jew.
Not for the reasons that, yeah. Like, they were great, but, yeah, I mean, again, you know what I liked was the Beverly Brothers? But that's because I think it was Wayne Bo or whatever? Or Wayne,
Bo and Blake. Wayne Bloom.
Yeah,
Mike
it was Bo. I think he was Bo. He was the one who did all the talking, and then Enos would, like, go to speak, and he'd go, wait, I got this one.
Yes, never
let him talk.
That's right.
And it was hilarious every time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I always loved that act for that reason, but, yeah.
What about the Bushwhackers?
No.
No?
No.
Huh.
And you know who was a good promo, but they didn't actually have to cut in-ring promos often? They're usually backstage doing skits or whatever, but they were great. Was the ABA. No,
the APA.
APA were awesome promos.
Yeah, they had their role.
And both of them did. Right?
The Fabulous Rougeau Brothers.
Well, Hart talked for them a lot, so...
Well, but then you move on to the Quebecers even. I thought Jacques Rougeau was...
Rougeau wasn't a bad talker at all.
And actually, so was Raymond. Not so much Pierre.
No.
But Jacques and Raymond both could carry the stick.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Pat Patterson, usually. But they were a good promo team. You know, they could hype a fight.
Yeah. Pretty good, yeah.
You know... I'm trying to think of anybody else that really... So any of the major, you know, teams? I don't think the Dream Team so much as a promo team.
No. They had, what's his name, doing the talking for
Johnny
them.
Valiant. I mean, yeah, Greg the Hammer could do his thing, but...
Beefcake was, you know, I mean, they're fine of whatever they did. But
sure.
It was mainly Val. It was the act, really.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of any other...
I'm sure there's more teams in, like, the 70s that, you know...
Sure.
Were probably great promos that I can't think of, you know what I mean? But again, a lot of it, like if I'm probably most familiar with is WWE.
What about the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, too? I mean, with Ole Anderson.
Well, yeah, I'll agree with that, for sure. Ole and Arn.
Yeah.
Ole and Gene before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. But that's it. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of great teams out there in the 70s and 60s. I mean, they aren't as well known, but yeah, I mean, there's probably some foreign heel.
Apparently, the Assassins were a great.
I could see that, yeah. You know. But, I mean, you start getting, again, you go into, like, who was the tag team champions in WWF. And, again, you're still looking at guys who are managed by...
Manager, Captain Lou.
Captain Lou and the Grand Wizard. And
you know who was not a great promo team? The Moondogs.
No.
So, I mean, there's, but then, like you said, you get in a Demolition, and Bill Eadie was a great promo.
I liked him.
Darso did his thing, too.
Yeah.
So they had some presence about them, right? So, I never thought the Rockers were very good.
But I wish I could think of, like, a promo. No, the Rockers were not a good promo. Not at all. In fact, you can't...
But the Rockin' and Reelin' were the top of the World Wrestling.
Well, but the Rock and Roll Express weren't a good promo either.
No, they weren't.
So, you know.
No, they weren't.
So
I'm trying to think of some promos. To think of some promos.
Bad Company was not a good promo.
No.
Bruce Hart? No.
Yeah,
Pillman was always pretty good. But
I think I'm trying to think of an actual promo.
Money, that's a money promo, that's a tag team promo.
I can think of the hype of the WrestleMania 4 demolition with Bob Uecker as they're about to go beat Strikeforce.
Yeah.
You know, well, Uecker, it's just a couple of minutes away.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good promo.
And you know, when you take yourself and you hit someone over the head with a baseball bat, they go down. And tonight, Strikeforce, Master Fuji has ordered to hit you over the head, and you're going to go down.
Yeah. Yeah, it was effective.
The Golden Goose is hanging low. All we got to do is reach up there and grab it.
Yeah, what are the money? But when you think of money promos for tag team matches, because tag teams haven't been put in a money position for so damn long.
Nope.
I mean, again.
What was the last...
The New Age Outlaws had great mic skills.
Yeah, but they were not really a promo.
But there wasn't a promo, yeah.
It was just their catchphrase.
It was a gimmick. It wasn't like a promo.
Champions, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But what are the, what would say the last time that as a top of the card, tag team titles or tag team was featured?
Yeah.
Like when?
Really?
The 80s. Well, no, 1997. Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin against the
regular tag team
of Owen Hart. The regular tag team of Owen Hart and the British Bulldog.
Okay, so let's move on to this thing on the WWE.com and then we'll
the 50 coolest maneuvers.
OUT after this, right?
Probably.
OUT.
I think so. Do we have anything else on here? Do you know that network reached 1 million subscribers?
I'm conflicted.
Huh.
Oh, wait.
That's all right.
Constipated.
Right. Right. Conflicted about being constipated.
Not really. I kind of like it.
Hmm. Let's go to number 50.
Okay.
This is a cool move. The Ultimate Warrior's Gorilla Press Slam.
Oh, fuck. This list is off to a bad, bad start.
Yes. So next.
Yes.
Victoria's Widower.
The worst looking finishing move I've ever seen. Hey, I'm going to hurt your knees. Then you won't be able to kick out.
Victoria's Widow's Peak.
Terrible.
I don't know if anybody heard that over you coughing.
Oh.
The clothesline from Heck.
Mm-hmm. In a sec.
This sucks.
From JBL's clothesline from... Who was doing that before? When it was... You know what? That was a good finisher when
the
it was...
Lariat?
The Lariat from Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen when it broke Bruno Sammartino's neck.
Yeah. Dean Malenko's Cloverleaf. Okay.
Yes. Right. First one I agree with.
Yeah, that's a great move. That was a great move, yeah.
And it's real.
Yeah.
If you put someone in that figure four, because I've done to B many times, you figure four the leg, you can just pick them up at will. Mm-hmm. Really. Seriously. It's excellent.
No, that was a great move.
Okay, number 46. Roman Reigns' Superman Punch.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool move.
Yeah.
I still say it should be his finisher.
Yeah.
Drop the spear. Overdone.
It is. Arn Anderson's Spine Buster. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is too... I'm going to...
You know, it's a simple move, but the way Anderson put it on...
It's patented.
With such snap.
Yeah.
It looked great.
It's his patented maneuver.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
When you see a Spine Buster, you think Arn Anderson.
Absolutely, you do.
You know. So that, I think, is too low on the... I think it should be better on the list. Mick Foley's Cactus Elbow.
Cactus Elbow or Nestie Plunge.
Elbow, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's a great move. Yeah. And it took its toll on his body, but it was a great move. And nobody does it now, and nobody should. It
entertained me.
Yeah. Undertaker's old school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, the rope walk.
In fact, I'd have that. If you're talking just pure cool move, I'd have that way higher.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Killer Kowalski's Stomach Claw. Fuck off.
No, it was a cool move at the time. Yeah, it was a cool move.
It's still a cool move of all time.
Yeah, I would put it in there.
No, that move is cool on there because he trained Hunter and it was mentioned on Seinfeld.
Oh, cool. It was mentioned on Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Have you seen the episode where they're walking through the parking lot of the mall for like the whole show?
Oh, yeah. Find their car?
He mentions it in there.
Oh. Should be higher then.
Christian's Kill Switch, the Unprettier.
Yeah. I still like it when it was the Unprettier. Still like that title more. It's one of my favorite names ever for a finishing move.
Yeah.
The Unprettier.
I thought the move was good. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's a good move. And it's an original move, so.
Yep. Booker T's Harlem Hangover.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. This needs to be higher, actually.
Way higher.
Yeah.
Super cool move.
Great move.
Because, a leg drop from the top rope was already a cool move.
Yeah.
So then you had it with the flip, and then you had it from a guy his size?
Yeah, 260 pounds or whatever he like, was. Yeah,
for sure.
Number 39, the backstabber. I liked it better as the back cracker.
Yeah, I liked it better as the back cracker too, but whatever you want to call it. What was it? What was the third thing that, what's his name called it there on the pay-per-view? And Ross was like, Matt Stryker, and then Ross was like, backstabber works for me.
Oh, yeah. Like a bunch of names. He did, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although that was also the M position, Maven's finisher as well.
Mm. But it was cool when it was done by Carlito.
It's true. The Lion's Salt.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of the move. It's just a move.
Yeah, yeah. That does nothing for me.
No, nothing for me at all.
The Tazplex? No.
It's just a suplex. It was the Taz suplexing a bunch of impressive suplexes back to back to back that were different was what was impressive.
Yeah. The suplexes.
Yeah. It would look cool with people, with the right people flying out for him and bumping for him. This one in particular, in this way, it's whatever.
Yeah, no. Dumb.
Yeah.
Cesaro's very European uppercut. Yes, absolutely. This is
awesome move.
See Cesaro blast Tyson Kidd with his uppercut.
I could see this one being on there more than once. Like Cesaro being on there more than once.
Oh, yes, because there's the giant swing as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The mandible claw. Yeah.
I
don't know if it's cool.
It's not cool. It's unique. The character was unique, which made it dangerous.
I think the mandible claw, though, is a move, and there hasn't really been... Like, there just can't be a move like it. Sticking your fingers down some guy's throat.
Here's the good thing. The good thing about it was you could get it over as a finisher, and it looked dangerous because the character was dangerous. On a guy who's not... a guy who... You don't have to be athletic for it. So, I mean, you could even bring it back. Especially since it was ruined by the sock towards the end.
Yeah.
But would I have it on the top as cool moves? No. No, I wouldn't.
That you're playing.
No, I'm not. No, I'm just looking up something that I need to download because you mentioned Undertaker old school and I need to...
Ah, yes.
I need to have an image of that because I've been working on, for the last like 3 weeks, a career retrospective through pictures of... The Undertaker's career in and out of the ring. His life is full. It's probably going to come in three pieces. It should be...
Is he dead?
The legend and... It'll be the legend and kind of the man. Like, so it'll be his you know, him at school, him out of the ring, him, you know, in his early days, his first gimmicks under a mask and stuff. It'll be another one then, the Deadman era. And then the third one will be the streak.
Right.
And then it'll have him, like, toys, shirts, merchandise, like, all these different things. It should come in three blogs, and hopefully Freaks TV, if you'll remember him, who worked with us before, is going to be able to do some wallpaper, some unique ones for it.
Cool.
So that's right now my plan, but I just finished today collecting all of it, and I have to organize it.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time. So just to get him, just to figure out what I'm going to use and what I'm not. But, yeah, so I realized when he did this, I don't have him walking the ropes, which I gotta have. So I'm actually looking for that picture right now. I wasn't even gonna bring this up. It's gonna take so while because I think I mentioned this to you a year ago when he lost his streak, and I started working on it like a month ago. And we're known for our mini blogs, of course.
Yes,
our regular, constant blogging. But
so it's an Undertaker history of on pictures.
Yeah, like this picture will be in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Of him when he was like 14.
Okay.
You know.
See, and I thought it was DDP.
Why?
That was the Undertaker's stalker. Number 34, Brian Kendrick, sliced bread number 2.
I'll never stop hating you.
I know. Just like he'll never stop loving Chavo. Or apparently the Undertaker.
Well, very few guys have had the amount of different looks over the years that the Undertaker has had.
Yeah, and me love all the looks. Sliced bread number 2.
I'm not seeing anything under Undertaker ropes. Well, sliced bread number 2 was a wicked move.
Thank you.
I liked it before it was... first time I saw it was at the acid drop in ECW for Little Spike Dudley.
Little LSD, yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
And now we've got...
You know, I never realized that he was LSD until right now.
Really?
Yeah, I've never...
That's why it was the acid drop.
I never, ever... I just thought this is where tie-dye and... Yeah, I never connected that till now. That's
nice.
That's cool.
You're quick.
Little Spike Dudley. Yeah, very few people have had the amount of different looks. Now, what are you doing? Are you tweeting? Or are you... what's that word you're using?
What? Yeah, I was looking at the Twitter. And I also found the show picture. Wait till you see it, folks.
It doesn't need any explanation.
No, it will be...
If you get it on, you get us on iTunes, you need to go and actually get a good look at that picture. It's worth going out of your way for.
It is worth the price
of the
admission alone.
It's a Photoshop thing, and somebody did possibly the funniest thing I've ever seen. So that was way up there. All right, yes. So where were we? We were on the cool moves. So sliced bread.
Sliced bread.
I'm going to have to go on that website and actually steal that picture because I can't find another good one here. Well, I can't, but they're all new of him doing it. I want, like, the original rope walk. Like, when he was, you know, first appearing and we saw it. Okay. So what else? So I found a cool wallpaper that I might use.
Dragon Sleeper.
Yep, great move.
Great move. Not good when it was the taker care of business. That was retarded.
The move was still great. The name?
Retarded. Yeah, the name, it was so retarded, it was a fan of John Cena.
Mm-hmm. It was big and red.
The Three Amigos.
Yeah.
I like the Benoit one better.
Well, the Benoit one was first. I like the Three Amigos. I like the way he snapped his hips, and Cole would always mention that. And nobody else has ever done it since, has ever snapped his hips in the same way.
And do you miss
to make
that?
It look as real?
The way the guys used to snap their hips?
Yeah. Wait.
Number 31.
Are we still on the air?
Oh, yeah. Caval's Warrior Way.
Holy fuck. When was this made?
What?
January 28th, 2015?
Today.
And they put Caval on there?
Well, why? What's a Caval?
Well, exactly. He's on TNA. Well, also, you could call this Finn Balor or move. I think Hideo Itami's also use it. But Finn Balor is using it as his finisher right now. I'm just really surprised. And it's a great move.
Yeah. It's pretty much the only good thing that Caval's ever done.
He's awesome.
The Warrior Way.
Great news is Asian Mist.
Stupid. It's not a move.
No, it's not a move. No, and it's not even his first. Like, I realize he had it for Tajiri, so you want to reference it, but he didn't even take it. Like, it's
Killer
not
Khan.
His move. Killer Khan, Great Kabuki, shitloads of guys. Lance Storm's rolling single leg. Fuck off. That's not on the list of the top 1,000 coolest moves.
No,
it's not. It's an effective finisher, as a theoretically for a finisher in a making you submit. But as far as an actual, like that's a cool move? No.
Yeah.
You put it on in a cool way sometimes when it goes through.
It's as cool as this next one.
Yeah, that's true.
Umaga's Samoan Drop.
I'll give him this. His Samoan Drop, he threw them up and caught them instead of just lifting them and doing a Samoan Drop.
It wasn't a pampoose to go.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Better. But still not on the list. The Figure 4 Ring Post Leg Lock by Bret Hart.
Or the Heart Lock, as he calls it.
Yes.
That was a great move. When he first debuted that.
This is a great picture, especially right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Owen Hart sign.
That's great. I agree. That's cool.
Number 25.
What year was that in?
That would have been 1997. That would have been from September 6th. 1997, In Your House, Ground Zero.
Huh. Yeah. I hear 1997 was alright.
It was a great year. The Superfly Splash. Poor Virgil.
Superfly Splash should be much higher.
Yeah, especially off the cage, right?
Yes, come on. That's one of the original great flying moves of the time. Now we've seen it a million times.
Yeah.
But go back to when it first was around.
Yeah, exactly. The Tarantula, that's a good move.
Which was great in ECW.
Yeah.
But WWE made him give it up after like a two count, so it didn't seem cool.
Yeah.
And they still do that with like Emma when she uses it or whatever. It was a great move in ACW because he'd keep it on for like 10, 15 seconds and it looked awesome and the guys would have a chance to really sell it. And
yeah.
Yeah. Number 24.
Saturn's Death Valley Driver. We were just talking about this on Sunday.
Yeah, yep, yep. Off air, I think, but yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
First time I saw it in WCW, I was like, that's a fucking great move.
Is that, who is that?
You say Tommy Dreamer is using it first, but Saturn's is the one I think of.
Is that Caprice Coleman?
I thought that was Shelton Benjamin.
At the same time as Perry Saturn? Right.
Can't be.
I think that's Caprice Coleman, because he's been around for a long fucking time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was only the gold standard, right? With his blonde hair for
either that, that would have been after this, or after Saturn was gone.
Is that Butch Reed?
No.
Well, 23, Adrian Neville's Red Arrow. Yeah.
If we're talking cool, higher.
Yeah, it should be higher.
Yeah. What's Hunter's move going to be? Is it going to be the Pedigree or the Face Crusher or both?
The what?
Face Crusher.
The fuck's the face?
You know, the one to the knee to the face thing that he does.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I don't think the Face Crusher beats this. It's gotta be the pedigree.
We're talking about Hunter. Sabu's triple jump moonsault? Yeah, no, way higher. Way higher. In fact, you probably could have put 10 of Sabu's move in there.
Yeah.
10 of Sabu and 10 from Ray, you could have put in here.
Exactly, yeah. Number 21, the Meltzer driver. No.
The Batista bomb.
Fuck you.
As a power bomb, it's what, maybe...
Is it even the Pearl River Plunge.
It's the Pearl River Plunge. And it's not as cool as the Pearl River Plunge is. It's nowhere near the last ride.
No.
Scorpio's 450. Yep, wicked move.
Yeah.
Number 20, that's about right.
What about Mark Merrill's Wild Thing?
Which has since become the Shooting Star Press from other people.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar's F5.
Kidman, actually, they would probably have the Shooting Star with Kidman because he's with the company, right?
Yeah.
F5, okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
When's the AA? It's too high at 18, but it should be on there.
Like, here we go. 5-star Frog Splash, number 18. Like, it is, I mean, we just had a 450. We had a fucking Harlem Hangover. We had a fucking Adrian Neville.
Yeah.
Right? To compare top rope moves.
RVD's 5-star. Yeah. I think the first time I saw the 5-star from Eddie, in some ways, Eddie's was more like a compact. Looked like it had more...
explosiveness.
No, but Rob Van Dam's, he would go fucking 3/4 or 4/5 away across the ring, get an unbelievable height, change his body. Position in the air if he needed to. It was wicked. I mean, but again, you could put
Van Terminator and split leg and moonsault. The first time I ever saw in 1997 a split leg and moonsault in February Raw of 1997, I thought that was one of the coolest moves I'd ever seen in my life.
Again, you could the Rolling Thunder even. Like,
nah, Rolling Thunder's fucking retarded.
Well, with the chair, which is kind of how I think of
it. Yeah, but it's fucking retarded.
Yeah, that jump he did into the crowd, right, on Bigelow.
Yeah, that's...
Like, again, he's another guy could have, like you say, 5-6 moves in there.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a bunch.
Kane's chokeslam from hell. Kane, go fuck yourself.
This list just lost all credibility.
The curb stomp. Okay, yeah.
I always thought the curb stomp was great when I used to see...
Carl Burchill
do it. It was his finisher, and it was... I think it was better actually.
His was better because he pulled the guy up and stomped him down. Where these guys have to do, like, it looks fake when they, the setup is fake.
They have to get in position.
The stomp itself is cool, but they have to get into position.
But yeah, Virchel's was better.
Yeah.
Definitely.
There's the Cesaro swing.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep. Yeah, I figured he was going to have both of them on there. I'm scared now. We're at 14 to go. I'm scared what's going to show up. Like, Sweet Chin Music?
No.
I could see it in the top 50, near the bottom, like near around 50.
Yeah.
Razor's Edge,
yeah.
Again, near that's around cool. 50.
Razor's cool, Edge is a unique,
okay, cool... top 30?
Yeah.
Top 15? No.
No, not number 13 like it is. Not ahead of...
the 450 Slash.
Yeah, things like that. The Adrian Neville again, right?
Yeah.
Cool moves. The Swanton. again, I'm going back to the top rope maneuvers, right? This is better than, say, the Superfly Splash. Better than the Frog Splash.
It's actually, I wouldn't say it's better than the Superfly. It's better now, but it's not better for its era.
Well, of all time, right?
Yeah, which is of all time means of its era, too.
Yeah, the judgment means of all the eras.
No.
Yes.
No. It's well, within its era, it was cool.
Yes, within its era, it's cool. The RKO, number 11.
I have huge problems right there.
Yes. Number 10, the Diamond Cutter.
Yeah, oh. Exactly. The Diamond Cutter was cooler and better. Now, don't get me wrong, Orton's RKO, the vines are really cool, but
yes.
Still, he hasn't done it in as many ways and unique ways and cool ways as Paige thought to do it. So, and it's not his move, so yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
But
I can have it in the top 50.
I could have it in the top.
But you could actually say Randy Orton's RKO / DDP's Diamond Cutter.
Yes.
And I have no problem with that. And have it in the top. You could even have it in the top 30 then, or 20. But this, number 11, Randy Orton's RKO, is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
On a stick.
It is. I think of the one with Evan Bourne.
Yes, that was
great. That was, I think, the best one.
That's the best one probably ever did. Yeah. Tough to top that one.
Yeah. Goldberg's spear.
You know, is the spear cooler than the jackhammer? Both are great.
You know what move is it on here that, like, when you talk about moves that, because this is just
no, but I'm asking, is what did first time you saw him, what did you think was cooler? The spear, which he did with way more power than anybody else has ever
done.
First time
I saw him, the spear, because I didn't really think of it, like, the jackhammer didn't do anything for me. And
still, I think the jackhammer's
never. I thought Billy Gunn did the jackhammer better.
No, he did.
Because he held him up long.
No, the difference.
I don't think
he held him up longer, but the difference was I think the reason why the jackhammer is impressive to me is because I saw him do it on, like, the Big Show and huge, like, what's his name from who played the Yeti?
Ron Reese.
Yeah. Like, I saw him do it on guys like that. I've never seen fucking Billy Gunn do it on guys like that, so. That's the reason why it was so impressive. But you're right, just the spear itself, it's a great move. And that's probably his greatest contribution to the business. Now it's an overused move.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's right up Goldberg's alley.
But nobody's ever done it as good as
that. You know what move is it on this list?
The second best spear I've ever seen is probably Rhino. And that's maybe 50% as good as Goldberg's.
Yeah.
Like, it was way ahead.
I look at what's not making those lists, because we're at number 10 here, is, and what should have made the list to me in and around 50, Davey Boy Smith suplex.
Higher? The one where he held them?
The hanging suplex.
I would say that should be in the top 30, and in the top 25, I would have, maybe in the top 20, I'd have Dynamite Kid's snap suplex.
Yeah, the snap suplex.
Because the way he did it, Benoit tried to do it like him, but he couldn't.
Yeah,
it was wicked.
Well, Benoit, he got back at him by snapping something else. But RVD, the Van Terminator, I mentioned the Van Terminator. Was that Fandango?
Wow. Well, at least they aren't calling it. At least they're not calling it. Yeah, that looks like Fandango. At least they're not calling it Shane McMahon's Van Terminator. I don't think it ever got a name under McMahon, actually.
I think it did.
Did it?
Forget what it was. They did give it a name.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's, I don't know. The Frankensteiner. Absolutely.
Way higher. Well, you want to talk cool maneuvers and they wouldn't have it on this list?
What?
The Steiner Driver.
Yeah, the Steiner Driver. I was going to say that's the other one that would be.
I mean, that. First time I saw that was him on Owen Hart, like 3 minutes into a match, and it caught Bret off guard and Owen off guard.
Yeah.
And then Bret didn't get there in time to break up the pin. Like 3 minutes into that tag match. It was a great match.
Yeah.
That they had between the Hearts and that was for a Coliseum Home video.
Yeah, I remember.
And then double count out, I think, or
yeah.
DQ. But yeah, he does it like 3 minutes in, and now Bret's caught off guard because it's such a crazy move that Owen has to kick out. And I'm like, nobody should fucking kick out of a pile driver. A suplex into a pile driver with extra strength, it actually exposed the business, and it's like that's where Steiner's a moron, because Steiner is more about getting his shit in than the psychology of the match.
Wait, that's where Steiner's a moron.
Well, then there's his promos.
Oh, but this, I mean, you talk about the Hurricanrana, and they call it the Frankensteiner, and it became a Hurricanrana.
Yeah.
But it really was, and this is a good one here, a good picture of it with, I believe that's Dr.
Well, again,
Tom Pritchard there.
But even to this day, when you think...
But it was the spike of the head into the ground is what...
It was also that the guy wasn't standing there, like John Cena will put it on, the guy would be standing there to jump up on them. No, he'd whip them into the rope. So his timing of getting them coming off the rope to hit it was unbelievable. He'd have to jump at just the right time. And he was a 255, 60-pound guy doing it and looking... So smooth.
Yes.
It was unreal. Yeah. All right. What are you... Oh, that was pretty fucking good, too. Now I'm conflicted. That's another great...
I think that's the winner because of the look on his face.
That's another great... Fuck, that's great. They're both great. Can you put them both together?
Maybe. We'll try.
It's not hard. Just use photojoiner.com. Download them and put them together.
Mm. Is We Talk Wrestling on photojoiner?
The Perfect Plex, or the Fisherman Suplex.
Now you're going to see.
As it was known for years.
As John Cena would call it.
Yeah. Not.
No.
Not in the top 50, probably. No.
Now you're going to see a Perfect Plex.
Yeah, not a good move.
Great move.
Well,
yeah.
Great move, but nothing special.
No. Unique. No one else did it, right?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Well, not...
Not... It was... He brought it to the... They gave it to him when he was in WWE, but for years. I mean, other people were doing it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The Fisherman Suplex.
And then afterwards as well. People would kick out of it, because I remember Shawn Michaels always going, that move didn't pin anybody.
No.
The Randy Savage Elbow.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. That's his number six, and that's number probably six. Where it should be, actually.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely no problem. The picture's great.
Well, it's like, it's a great picture, but on the other hand, it's not his best, like, it's not him at his best.
No.
His lightest flying, but yeah, it's the Randy Savage elbow. It was.
Yeah.
Sharpshooter, fuck off.
Sharpshooter number five.
And the where was the Texas Cloverleaf was like 47?
Yeah.
This should be like 42.
Yeah. Number four, the Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah.
I do
well,
like...
Well, I'll give him this. The Scorpion Deathlock, he just crosses their legs, whereas Bret Hart made it a figure four.
I do
so like his that. Actually looked more
no,
legit.
No, he crosses the legs. He doesn't do a figure four.
Yeah, it's like a backwards figure four more.
Mm.
His leg's in the way a little bit, but he's got... It looks more real the way he put it on.
I do
it's
like
not,
the...
It's not just a simple cross of the legs like the Scorpion Deathlock. It is more of a figure four that he turns in, puts his leg in between.
Weird that Bret Hart took more care in his craft than Sting.
But if you're going to compare the Sharpshooter to the Scorpion Deathlock, it's definitely better.
And if you're going to watch a Sharpshooter go on, you click this link and you see Bret Hart put it on Will Sasso. Because that's the textbook definition. Number four.
Mm-hmm.
The Tombstone.
Mm.
It's a fucking pile driver.
It's just a pile driver. No different than the pile driver I've seen for years before him.
Here's a watch a video of every single Tombstone ever.
Seriously. No, fuck, don't take that.
No.
Well, not now.
No, you can go watch that later.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Number three.
Put it in my stocks. By the way, I should mention, since we're talking about stockings, I have a picture of, like, merchandise, including some Christmas stockings from the Undertaker.
Really?
Christmas Undertaker stockings that will go on the blog.
You know, at Christmas time, my nickname is Stocking.
I just got to check on my King of the Ring. Keep going. Where we got? The
Stunner
was a great move.
Number three. Yeah. Miss Stunner.
Yeah.
So the Pedigree is number two?
I'm scared now. The AA is number one?
Evan Bourne's Airborne.
Okay, so they gave it to Evan Bourne instead of fucking Wild Man or Billy Kidman or whoever else they wanted to. Could have given it to a billion.
Everyone
people.
From Jushin Thunder Liger to Brock Lesnar used the Shooting Star Press, but no superstar ever mastered the artistry quite like Evan Bourne. The best WCW cruiserweight that never was, Bourne's Airborne.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Oh, fuck. Okay, we're going to go to number one. So the Pedigree is the best move ever.
Oh, better not be.
The DDT.
Oh, thank God. Jake Roberts DDT, yeah. Before everybody used it. Though, I got to say this. As a DDT, the spike DDT that was used by... was it? It was Gangrel used it?
Yes.
Yeah. The spike DDT... Yeah, keep him.
Yeah, I know. I have one of him, so I can
combine. But max them up, then combine them, and he'll be a killer card for you.
Oh, max them first.
Max them first, then combine them. And then when you build them up again...
Buttercup?
Dude, that card will kick ass. It'll be better than a rare card maxed out.
I see what you're saying. So don't combine them yet.
Don't combine them yet. Max out the cards that you want to combine.
I see.
And then combine them. All right. So, yeah, I mean, the Spike one, was it Gangrel using? I think Edge used it too. That was always cool too. So,
all right. Who did it better?
As much as I was going to say, it's time to wrap it up. Because how long in were you now?
The RKO versus the Diamond Cutter.
Yeah, I think we got to do this.
The winner was the RKO.
I would lean towards the Diamond Cutter. I would lean towards the Diamond Cutter.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Okay, fine.
Especially considering the fucking...
I give him this. You have to keep in mind also, Randy Orton's been actually doing it for way longer.
Yeah.
He's given way more of them.
That's true, too. The Boston Crab versus the Walls of Jericho.
Oh, the Walls of Jericho, for sure.
Yeah, way better than Ricky Martel.
Yeah, because the way he did it with the knee on the back.
Being, exactly.
Just taller, and yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Razor's Edge versus the High Cross. So it's obviously the Razor's Edge.
You can obviously, right now, this is the part of my balls you can lick, by even putting those two as a comparison.
Yeah.
I forgot that he even did that move.
Me too.
What, did he do it for a week and a half?
I think he did when he first came in ECW.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Like,
which I didn't mind, actually, at the time.
Camel Clutch versus Steiner Recliner. That one's all right, but Camel Clutch was way better.
Yeah, I'd have to go with Camel Clutch.
Yeah, and Rusev does it now. And Rusev, I think, does it better than Steiner did.
Fucking Steiner Recliner. Well,
yeah, Rusev did
it. He had no mobility by the time he was doing it.
No, I mean,
and
Rusev
not that Sheiky was Mr. Mobile, but...
No, but I think Sheiky's is the best, and then Rusev's, and then...
Yeah. Frog Splash versus 5-star Frog Splash, as we were talking about earlier.
I prefer Eddie's, but, I mean, both are great.
I give it to Eddie, and Eddie's dead, so they're going to give it to him.
I don't know.
No, they give it to 5-star.
Like I say, he got more height, and he got more distance, and he did more body control. But Eddie's looked more like a frog.
It's true.
It really did, like a, you know.
It's true.
And again, Eddie was doing it based off of Bart Starr, who did probably better than either one of them.
Art Barr.
Or when I say Bart Starr.
Bart Starr. Fuck. One of the desperados.
Yeah. Art Barr, sorry.
Who probably did a better role. I would love to see Bart Starr do a...
Ankle lock versus angle lock. Shamrock versus angle. It's got to be angle.
It's got to be Kurt.
Yeah, he did way more with it.
Yeah. Oh, ankle versus angle. I get it.
Same. Yeah, same thing. Either way, the way he grapevined the leg and put it on in different ways.
Yeah.
$1 Million Dream versus the Cobra Crush. $1 Million Dream beats Ted DiBiase over Sergeant Slaughter for me. What do you say?
I would go with DiBiase. They're going to go with...
You think they'll go with Slaughter? I don't think so.
I think they'll go with Slaughter.
I don't think so.
Cobra Clutch.
They did. Okay.
They love the Cobra Clutch.
I suppose.
Spear versus Spear, Spear, Spear. Goldberg versus Edge.
Yeah. Goldberg?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not I
agree, too. Yeah. But those are the two most famous when I think of them.
Those are Edge's.
And Rhino with the gore, too.
And now Reigns, like I was saying. And who else? Like, some chick was doing it, too, just up till a few months ago. Wasn't it Caitlyn when she was there? It was like her finisher. And,
really?
Yeah. Huh. Like a bunch of people have done it. Like, it's so overused.
Bitch, she was. Rock Bottom Bookends.
She's really sweet when we met her at the Royal Rumble, and she actually looked better in person.
That's true.
What was that? Rock Bottom versus...
Bookend.
Yeah, so the Rock Bottom one.
This is great. Look at this. Scorpio Deathlock versus Sharpshooter. Sting on Brett. Brett on Sting.
That's funny.
That is awesome.
That's great. But you can actually see the difference in technique there.
Yeah. Well, yes.
To some degree. Sting already lost mobility by then.
Mobility, a will to live, like, lots of stuff there.
And now he's going to wrestle. That was 15 years
ago. This is what we're going to get right there.
Oh, fuck. Well, actually, I don't think he'll put that move on.
Winner, you decide.
Oh, vote in our exclusive poll. Well, I will fucking vote Bret Hart.
Yeah, and I don't really care.
Yeah. I do.
Interesting to...
50 greatest matches in Raw history re-ranked. And I'm seeing the awesome Rey versus John Cena, where he won the title that night and then lost it the same night.
The WWF title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Best of the Undertaker on Raw, just for Rock aficionados.
Excuse me.
Why?
But yeah, actually, I would like to look at that list. Not tonight.
I know.
But I would like to look at that list because...
you want to stalk him.
I mean, that was the night after... that was because Punk won the belt.
Yes.
A couple years ago. So even as of a couple years ago, Ray was still great. Now he will never wrestle again.
Never.
All right, let's get the... Do it. Get the fuck out of this.
Like, oh, okay.
I've been holding in gas for you for a long time.
Oh.
I didn't want to hurt you.
That's nice of you. That's nice of you. So,
hurry up.
We're at WeTalkWrestling.com on the web.
Yeah.
We are at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter.
Yep.
Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling.
Yeah.
We are on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Stitcher.
Yeah.
We're on the TuneIn radio app.
Yeah.
We're on Show Me.
Yeah. No, but we are on We Talk Podcast as well, and the Talk Podcast Twitter page. And along with some of the other shows that we talk and blogs on We Talk Podcasts.
Yeah, but nobody cares
like
about
comics
those.
And music and...
Yeah.
CM Punk.
Yeah. Hypocrites. We talk hypocrites. All right, so that's going to do it then.
Let me see what you're doing with your lineup there. I'll give you some advice. On...
No. But in the meantime... and in between time... That's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Are we off air?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to... I was a little nervous. I just want to thank you when you said Schwarzenegger,
mm-hmm.
that you didn't go there in that somewhat questionable offensive area.
Where? Because he's Austrian?